Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial the fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
If that light forms on the right bay.
Yeah, I'm back.
Not that Mackey's back in town.
The fan, McMonagle here with you on this Wednesday morning. 888-808-1019. That's the number to call. We got Alex with me on the other side, and we'll be taking your phone calls all the way to 5 o'clock and the warm-up show on this Wednesday morning that feels, you know, different than Tuesday. As long as for the New York Yankees, because it's been a whirlwind. I know they're playing the White Sox, right? And I know when they lose, it's a disaster. When they win, it's ho-hum. I get it. And we'll get to the Mets as well, who are now on a four-game losing streak. And the offense is just... I know Blackburn had a poor start, but this offense continues to really struggle. And certain players will get to Nimmo. And the way they look. And now four-game losing streak with Blackburn's first real, you know, awful start for the New York Mets. And how everybody else wins. But we're going to start with the Yankees because it was a whirlwind day. You're coming off last night where it's as bad a loss. Right now, I argued with some people. I don't think it was the worst loss of the year. I certainly disagree. I was listening a little bit again today to the afternoon show. I certainly don't think it's the most embarrassing loss I've ever experienced in my life. And I don't think it's the worst loss of the year. But coming off that disgusting loss where they got embarrassed by a 10-run loss to the lousy Chicago White Sox. And when I say lousy, I don't mean like, you know, the lousy Texas Rangers or, you know, the lousy Toronto Blue Jays or some of the other teams that they've lost to or had series with in recent weeks here. No, no, no. We mean the worst freaking baseball team possibly in the history of the sport. So we get it. To lose by 10 to them is embarrassing. And we woke up, at least I did. I forget what time the news on Jazz broke, but it was news to me kind of waking up to it. We get the news that after some optimism with him leaving the ballpark last night and all initial tests fine and blah, 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 with the same things we've heard a million times, to wake up to the news coming off that loss and then to wake up to the news that, again, the main target of what was, in my opinion, pretty much everybody's opinion, and I'm the biggest Cashman guy there is, what was an ultimately disappointing trade deadline where they acquired pretty much just, we can forget De Los Santos. Let's just say they acquired Jazz Chisholm and Leiter. And we've seen what Mark Leiter has done in the bullpen now. But Jazz Chisholm was the trade deadline. And the impact he had on the team was immense and immediate. And to wake up to the idea that that could be lost for the season. And yet another, like, it's just coming off that loss. And then to find out the one guy they traded for is now gone, possibly for the season. We're waiting for news. Hopefully there's a chance that it's not. There's a chance it's just something he can rehab for a couple weeks. He's going to the IL for sure. We'll find out whether or not it's surgery and we'll see his spring training. Or if there's a chance he could still impact this team. But to find out the trade deadline has become nothing but Leiter who can't get anybody out. And now you've lost Jazz Chisholm. And much like the 22 trade deadline when you're talking about Montas loss for the year. If you look at the moves Brian Cashman has made over the last two trade deadlines that were impactful. Last year we could just forget about that team. Wasn't worth it. They didn't decide to do it. Fine. 2 years ago when they were in first place. And he traded for Montas and Efros and Trevino. And we haven't seen any of them. They all get hurt. That game followed by that news. Going into a start with Nestor Cortez, who has been awful. And the idea that you could be staring at, and who knew? Now we know it's Will Warren. But you don't know who's going to start for the Yankees on the third game of the series. You're literally waking up. You're literally down in the dumps. you're really wondering whether or not this team could even get a game against this lousy White Sox team. And in steps Juan Soto to remind you that, yes, you're not going to get too excited about a victory, a 4-1 victory over the Chicago White Sox. Yes, you're going to get downright pissed off and disgusted by what happened in the ninth inning. And I knew it. I called it. You could smell it. You could taste it. I tweeted it out. After that bases loaded line drive where they didn't score a run with the bases loaded and one out, and Wells hits the line drive to end the top of the ninth and a double play to catch Juan Soto at second base. You knew what was coming in the ninth inning from this Yankee bullpen that was down some relievers. You knew what was coming. So by no means is this a beat your chest, pound your chest type of day to talk about how great the Yankees are, even though they are now in first place after the Orioles lose to the Nationals. Tell me again how losing to bad teams eliminate you from World Series contention. If so, the Yankees are sitting pretty because the Orioles are no longer contenders. But today isn't a day to brag, but today is a day to just recognize that in that moment and in a season, and someone asked this in the postgame about whether or not you feel like Juan Soto is being overshadowed. And as impossible as it is to have Juan Soto overshadowed by what Judge is doing and whether or not you should flip the lineup and how do you pitch to Judge. And it's almost as if Juan Soto has in many ways become a secondary topic, the number two of the only two good hitters in a New York Yankee lineup. For him to put this team on its back, and let's be honest, besides him, there is no offense in this game. Right? On the news of losing Jazz Chisholm, someone who immediately made impact and changed this offense, there was no offense in this game. A couple of hits here and there. There really weren't any rallies. The runs are three home runs from Juan Soto. For him to step up and have that kind of day and make sure they do not have what would have been and what still can be tomorrow, the worst loss, or later today, I hate when I do that, what still could be the worst loss of the Yankee season, because you cannot lose this series. You could pop up and lose a game. I know many of you disagree with me. If they win today and they've played these lousy White Sox six times and beat them five, you want to cry about the one loss? Go ahead and cry about it. We'll live. But you can't lose a series right now in the stretch they're in, battling with the Baltimore Orioles, who are playing almost as poorly as they are. And for him to step up, carry this team, hit three home runs, and be in the midst of, honestly, one of the great seasons we've ever seen. It just so happens that someone who amazingly is better happens to be hitting behind him. I mean, for Juan Soto to have that game, hit those home runs, carry this team to victory, even to, you know, help them hold on when the bullpen is in utter shambles right now, that was a moment needed. That was a moment that Juan Soto reassured us again that, you know what? This bullpen's in disarray, sure. And maybe they do have Efros and Hamilton coming back. And maybe by the end of it, you're going to see one of the starters, whether it be Luis Gil or whether it be Nestor Cortez, I suppose it's a possibility, considering they have no lefties out there, or whether it's Clark Schmidt. Yeah, maybe there's some added help to the back end of this bullpen coming from either the rotation or the injured list or whatever. But you know what? When it comes down to it, as ugly as they've played at times, they have two of the best five, bar none, hitters in this sport in the middle of that lineup. And they have an ace at the top of the rotation. And as much as they might struggle through all this and feel like they're holding on for dear life with Cousins on the mound, trying to hold off a three-run lead against the White Sox on pacing the floor of a game against the Chicago White Sox in the middle of August. Shame on me. Shame on them for making me feel that way. But when it comes down to it, Juan Soto is a New York Yankee. And those three home runs reminded us yet again that whatever else happens, the middle of that order is devastating. The middle of that order is historic. They have an ace at the top of the rotation. They have some answers coming back in the bullpen. And ultimately, this New York Yankee team is as good as anybody. Are they better than everybody? No. Do you look at them as the clear-cut favorites to come out of the American League? No. And off of last year, and with those two players, you'd like to think they could have been. You'd like to think this owner would have spent enough, this GM would have done enough, the impact players brought into the trade deadline would have been enough, and instead you lose the biggest impact and really the only impact player you have. The bullpen's in absolute tattered disarray. The starting rotation after, you know, finally getting a good start from Nestor Cortez is still making you scratch your head as Luis Hill's getting pounded by the worst offense in the sport. But it was just a good reminder that two of the greatest baseball players, arguably to ever live, are hitting in the middle of this Yankee lineup. And right now, they're on a stretch against bad teams. And they have another game with Will Warren on the mound later today against these lousy White Sox that they better go freaking win. Then they're taking on the Tigers, who scored a ton of runs against Seattle. Someone managed to do it. But they got the lousy Tigers. They have an easier schedule down the stretch. And you turn and you watch the Nationals pounding the Orioles. And you know what? No, it's not as good as we think it should be. And no, we don't like it. I know as you watch it, it'll make you sick on a nightly basis. And I woke up today off of that loss to find out the Jazz Chisholm news, and I was ready to throw in the towel. And then Juan Soto saved us and made us remember that anything is possible. As long as those two guys are in the middle of the lineup. And tell me again, and we're going to play the sound in a little bit in the postgame. Because ultimately, there's so much about Juan Soto and whether or not he'll be here. And, like, you know, I was literally just watching. SNY was on one of the TVs in the newsroom. And as I'm walking in, I got Sal Licata telling me he's playing so good. He's playing so well that he's going to price himself out as a New York Yankee. And every time I tweet the Juan Soto is a New York Yankee tweet, I get a bunch of Yankee fans. Yankee fans. Not just Met haters. Not just, you know, Red Sox fans, not just people who despise me. Actual, legitimate Yankee fans.
Oh, man, I enjoy it while it lasts. Because you know how Steinbrenner's not going to keep him.
You think this guy doesn't want to hit in front of Judge? As great as Juan Soto is, as incredible as his career has already been, at 25 years old, being compared to Ted Williams, having already won a championship, about to sign a contract that's going to take him 13, 14, who knows? He's one of the youngest guys ever to hit free agency, and his ability, he's on top of the world. We've known about Juan Soto forever. He's led the league in walks three consecutive years. He's hit home runs off Verlander in the World Series. He's done everything you can possibly do already at the age of 25, and never, never has he had a better year than he's having right now. Never has he hit more home runs than he's hitting right now. Never has he been as dangerous as he is right now, despite nagging injuries, which really haven't hampered him throughout his career. Whether it's the hand injury, the foot injury, all the different things he's had to deal with. How many times have we seen him grimace? Every time he swings and misses. He looks, you know, sometimes he looks like John Goodman in Babe. Holding his hand, struggling with a swing. Like, he's been dealing with something. And yet he's never had the kind of season he's having right now because he's in the midst of Soto Judge. He's in the midst of Gehrig and Ruth. He's in the middle of Mantle and Maris. And you think he's going to want to give that up? I heard yesterday a bunch of callers calling into Keith. One even called me, you know, You think he's happy losing to the White Sox? Yeah, I think he's happy hitting 33 home runs on his way to 40 for probably the first time in his career on a team that scored more runs than any other team in the American League and more wins than anybody in baseball. But no, he's hung up on yesterday. Juan Soto is a Yankee. Juan Soto will be a Yankee. And Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, the ace at the top of the staff, make this team a legitimate World Series contender, even if they are currently struggling with the Chicago White Sox. 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. So we'll get into that. We will get into the Mets and their fourth consecutive loss. Blackburn had a miserable start, gave it up early in this game, had nothing really command-wise. He talked about it in the postgame. It's just one of those games he had absolutely nothing. Now, I don't think this is who he is, but I also don't think the first two starts that he had as in a Met uniform are who he is either. I think he's somewhere in the middle, a average to below average starter in Major League Baseball, and he's going to round into that eventually. But here's the problem with the New York Mets. Again, to me, I know they scored a couple runs in this game. Winker had a big hit. Alonso comes through with a big hit. A couple of miscues defensively. Buehto, again, pitching in a blowout loss and not having his best stuff necessarily through Diaz in this game just to get them some work. That's what happens when you lose four consecutive games. But to me, all of that is secondary to this offense. Alvarez still looking the way he's looked. Nimmo looking completely lost. Because again, I'll say it over and over and over again. You are not going to rely on Blackburn to win games. Buehto's important, but you're not going to rely on your bullpen to win games. You're not going to rely on your starting rotation. You're not going to rely on your defense. You are going to rely on your offense. And I think you're starting to see how important Brandon Nimmo is to this team. Because if you look at what he's done in July and August, it is unbelievable how bad he's been. And it's unbelievable, coming off of a stretch where the home runs were up, the RBIs were up, he was a force to be reckoned with. He's atrocious right now, and you can sense he feels it. He's talked about it, and he's talked about wanting to, you know, help the team so desperately. Like, whatever it is, he is absolutely lost at the plate. So we'll get into, you know, Austin Adams and how he mocked OMG and seemed to have a real gripe with the Mets for cutting him in spring training, which when you're Austin Adams, I'm surprised you hold such a grudge. So we can get into the four straight losses, the offensive struggles. We'll get into the Oakland A's rubbing their nose in it a bit and Austin Adams having some fun at the Mets' expense. But ultimately, there's one topic with the New York Mets for me. And we could talk about how the Padres never lose and the Diamondbacks never lose and forget that. Remember how I told you how important those series are going to be at the end of the month? Forget them. Those series aren't important. It doesn't matter. Those are just more games the Mets have to win, no doubt. But it's not, we're past the point of trying to catch the Padres and the Diamondbacks. Forget them. They're six games up. They're six games up playing like the two best teams in baseball. You could have argued that it was going to come down to those series. I was talking tiebreakers against them. It's so important. All you need is one of the four against San Diego to secure the tiebreaker against them. You got the Diamondbacks, who you split the four-game series with. You got to win that series. I forget that. The Mets are playing for one spot with the Atlanta Braves, who they are now two games behind after they won as well last night. You got the Atlanta Braves, you got the Cardinals, you got the Giants. You got four teams within two games, three and a half games of making that final wild card, because the way it looks right now, the Padres and Diamondbacks are running and hiding. They're playing well, they're getting lucky, they're winning in extra innings, they're winning in every different way imaginable. They're six games up on the Mets, six. That's not insurmountable, but we're talking about the end of August. We got a month to make up six games with two of the hottest teams in baseball. Right now, I'm not even focused on it. Those series are important just because you got to win games, but it's no longer about catching them. Now, if you sweep those seven games, maybe we're having a different discussion, but right now, the Mets don't look like they're sweeping anybody. Because, again, say it with me now, the Mets need their offense to win. Plain and simple, there is not another aspect of this team that is good enough, dominant enough, or relevant enough where they are going to carry the Mets for any length of time. Any. Not in a winning way. There is one unit, there is one component of this Met team that is going to lead them into hot stretches and avoiding four-game losing streaks. One. And that is the overall depth and length of their lineup and the amount of good hitters having career years. And if you're going to have Nimmo cool off, if you have Alvarez continue to do nothing, if you're going to continue, even though he got a big hit last night, to have nothing from Pete Alonso. If Bader's going to cool off, if all these guys are cooling off, then this team cannot do what they did for the month of June. This team will be much more like what they've been for the last 2 weeks because that's who they are. They are score runs and pound you up and down the lineup and make it impossible and get to the bullpen and knock out the starter and beat good starting pitching and all of that. That's who they are. And if they are not that, then they are not a playoff team and they are not a contender. Because as much as Blackburn's been good and as much as, you know, they've added pieces to the bullpen and more pieces coming, and that those aren't units that will kill you, I think the starting pitching's been good enough where you can survive and outbeat the Braves and figure out a way to be a wild card. If the offense can carry you, they won't kill you, they won't sink you, but they won't lead you. There's only one unit to lead the New York Mets, and right now, they're leaderless. They're utterless, and they are not helping the Mets win as they have lost now four in a row. So that's where we are in the baseball story. We'll get to the football. Obviously, all of WFAN was at Jet training camp. We still have the Hassan Reddick situation. And should Aaron Rodgers play in the postseason? Preseason, excuse me. He should be playing in the postseason. Otherwise, everyone's getting fired.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
21 of the last 22 times they scored. Here's Sims to throw on third down. Up the middle, touchdown, Bavaro. Mark Bavaro goes to one knee. Genuflex in prayer. As a 13-yard throw over the middle answers the prayer for the Giants fan.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
McMonagle here with you, 2:30.
Get down.
So I did something last night. I'm not proud of it, but I followed in the footsteps of someone who I worked with and know very well. And you know what? To be fair, I followed in his footsteps a lot. I guess the scoring of the book, which I did last night and made a colossal mistake. This is when kids are around, man, and they're just running in your face, and they're everywhere, and I'm trying to, like, you know, get them to relax and go to bed, but I don't know how I made this mistake. I put the lineup in the book. Typically, I just wait for the game to start, and then as long as it's on Yes. If it's on, Amazon does it a little different, I think. I think this year they did match it the same, but Yes, for sure, gives you the full lineup, the bench, and the relievers, and the bullpen. So instead of like going to, the Yankees Twitter or whatever and getting the lineup early and everything, because then they don't, I mean, I know the bench and I know the bullpen, but it's just easier. I wait until the game, I press pause on the screen, I write everything down. Same thing for Chicago. Instead of going to the White Sox Twitter, I just wait for the screen when they hit pause and I write everything down. Today, for whatever reason, because I happened to be there with the book and my wife went to go do something and I was with the kids in the room anyway. I was reading stuff on Jazz and reading stuff on Twitter on football and stuff. So I actually went to the Yankees and Chicago White Sox, and I wrote down the lineup off the Twitter page where they give the lineup. And then for whatever reason, when I went to go do the book and I stopped the screen for the bullpen of the White Sox and everything, I wrote the bench and the bullpen on the wrong page. I wrote underneath the lineup for the White Sox, I had, you know, Jazz Chisholm. I wrote the Yankees bench under the White Sox lineup, and it was a terrible. The White Sox bench under the Yankee lineup. I put the relievers on the wrong page. I don't know how I did it. I went down to make the pitching change when they took out their starter, and I was like, what? I realized I wrote it on the wrong page. Anyway, not the point of this story. But I didn't necessarily follow. I always like to do the scoring. I didn't follow Evan's footsteps with the scoring of the book. I did it for another reason. My son was being born. I thought it'd be cool. I think I've told the story. When my father passed away when I was 19 years old in 2003. And going through some of his stuff after he passed away, I found like this notebook. That's also why I have
the spiral notebooks. I know people have made comments of it on the occasional video that is out there of me when I threw the book or whatever. I have this spiral notebook instead of a laptop or whatever. My dad had spiral notebooks, so I've always kind of written in spiral notebooks since that. And I found a notebook with like, he sort of fancied himself as a musician, and there was songs and there was poetry and there was different things that he had written down. And I was just, I treasure it. I thought it was something nice to have, his own words, his own thoughts, his handwriting, just something of his. And so when my wife got pregnant with my first son, I thought, well, maybe I'll score Yankee games and I'll write little notes and stuff. And now the notes have kind of gone less and less, and it's more about just, can you freaking believe this team? As opposed to, you know, in the early days, it was like, me and your mom went to the doctor today, and we found out you're the size of an eggplant. Like, you know, whatever. They give you all the comps on, like, what the size of the kid is. You're the size of a tangerine. So I don't know if I followed his footsteps in that necessarily, although he's been doing it forever. I did follow his footsteps last night in a little bit of a emotional hedge because I was convinced the Yankees were going to lose that game. I was convinced. I mean, when the bullpen came in, I literally, when Canely walked the leadoff man in the ninth, I went right to FanDuel and I placed a wager on the White Sox because I felt it. And more than actually hoping to win money necessarily or to feel better, Evan does it so that he'll hope when he wins money, he could say, at least I won money. I wasn't even looking to that, do that. I'm looking to be such a jinx that I know I won't win money, that if I put money on the White Sox, it'll help the Yankees. I'm not looking to feel better if the Yankees lose. I'm honestly hoping that I'm such a jinx that just betting on the White Sox will help the New York Yankees. But that's how this bullpen is right now. And you knew Holmes wasn't available, and I wasn't sure about Weaver and even Tonkin, who's been good. I would say Cousins has been just as good as Tonkin, but I was, and Canely's been okay. Right now, the real problem is Leiter, and just overall, none of them are pitching particularly well at the moment. And you just know when he comes in and gives up a run, Leiter in the eighth, after Nestor Cortez, who I haven't really talked about as much here just yet in the open, who was brilliant in this game. I mean, Nestor needed that in the worst way. And yes, it's the White Sox. Again, I'm not making a major case out of all this. I'm making, when I go on about Juan Soto, it's three home runs. I don't care who you hit three home runs against. That's hard to do. And more of just the uplifting nature of what those three home runs meant to the fan base, or at least how I felt of it as a Yankee fan, where down in the dumps, real down in the dumps, and I'm not out of the dumps. I'm still very concerned about this team. But him doing that, carrying this team, reminding us that we don't only have Judge, you have Juan Soto. Not that you need reminder of that, which if you do, I remind you every day on Twitter. But for him to hit those three home runs and carry the team, it's not that, woohoo, we beat the White Sox. It's like, thank you. Between last night's loss, Chisholm's injury, like, just thanks. We needed something to just celebrate. We needed a moment to realize, wow, how special it is. But Nestor Cortez was more important. I mean, we know how great Soto is. The idea that Nestor Cortez was able, against the team that put up 12 runs yesterday, all right, yes, against lousy Yankee bullpen pitching, mostly, no doubt. But he shut them down. He got swings and misses. The changeup looked great. Like, that was a very, very positive outing for Nestor Cortez to go seven shutout innings and look dominant. I know he was doing it again. You got to see much, much more. Much, much more. But that's a good start on his way back because they need him. I mean, they need starting pitching desperately. And I've always felt like Nestor Cortez gets up for these kind of, you know, gets up in the big moment. I trusted Nestor for a couple of years immensely in big spots. And it just feels like lately it's been so bad and didn't deserve to be in the rotation. And I'm not sure he does even after today, but he will for the short term, no doubt. And if he can continue to pitch like this, it'll be enormous for the New York Yankees. But as important as that was, and it was, just having Juan Soto lift them out of this, you know, or lift us at least out of this malaise. And now we could, you know, have the conversation and realize that him and Judge in the middle of the lineup, yeah, it's only two hitters. I get it. I think you can add Wells to that, right? I think you can add Wells to it. I think you can add Stanton to it. I know people, you know, his at-bats were a little bit better today, but I trust Stanton in a big spot. He's proven it with the New York Yankees. Gleyber Torres has been hitting better. I don't know if I trust him necessarily, but he's been hitting better. But yeah, we know where the main part of this offense is, and it's sitting there with Judge and Soto. No doubt. But don't get me wrong, I was terrified. Terrified! And I knew it too, because they load the bases in the top of the ninth, and Wells hits an absolute bullet right at the second baseman, and they get Soto standing too far off of second base for the double play to end that inning, and I knew it right then, and I tweeted it. I knew right then and there the way that inning ended, where that's a bullet, at least a base hit that scores one, and then gives Stanton an opportunity to try and blow the game open, but they're going to score runs in that inning. And to hit an absolute missile right to the second baseman for a double play, I just felt it in my bones that it was going to lead to a scary ninth. And then, of course, Canely walks the leadoff man, which, I mean, between that and the bunt yesterday from, I mean, you want to talk about inexcusable stuff. The bunt yesterday, and I don't want to harp on it because it's over, it's yesterday, but Verdugo and that bunt, and then the comments after the game. I know I played it for you yesterday. I was on it yesterday. I said I would have benched him, and they went right back to him in the leadoff spot. I mean, that's just, we can get, you want to get on Boone for it? I don't understand. I wouldn't have him in the leadoff spot anymore. I'm pissed at him for that bunt attempt. And I'm even more pissed off that he fully admitted he got lazy in it. But besides, between that and a leadoff walk in the ninth inning against the White Sox with a three-run lead is inexcusable. I don't care if he hits it 500 feet. You throw a freaking strike to this lousy team. It's unbelievable that he walked the leadoff man. I mean, that's inexcusable. I don't care how much of a funk you're in, how poorly you're pitching at the moment, which he's not been. He's been good. He's been one of the more, you know, trusted relievers as of late. You have got to throw a strike there. And you knew that inning was coming. So right now, there's no doubt. Don't get me wrong. I'm beating my chest that Juan Soto is a Yankee. And that he helped us in a moment of just feeling like an absolute misery. And I know that's where Yankee fans like to live. I don't know why. I really don't know why we have to live in this misery. But I know that's where a lot of us like to live. I don't like to live there. And I was there this afternoon. After the Jazz Chisholm news, I was there. And we're going to find out what it is. I guess we don't know. There's a chance. When I heard it and you hear UCL, I'm assuming surgery, end of season. We'll see if that's the case. See if he can come back. But we needed that uplifting from Juan Soto. And here's what I'll say, now that you mentioned it, to miserable Yankee fans. And I understand that we always have the guys of looking towards next year with Juan Soto. That's why I tweet out Juan Soto is a Yankee. I started doing it because I was tired of the conversation about Juan Soto next year. Like, we've been having it since day one. I understand starting to have it a little bit now and then as we get through it, but like, from the day he came here, the conversation is, where's he going to be next year? And I got so tired of it that I just started tweeting out Juan Soto is a Yankee. Like, I'm tired about where he's going to be next year. He's one right now. And let me just say this to miserable Yankee fans. I get it. It's about winning and winning the World Series. Of course. Of course. And in that endeavor, they have failed as they're about to celebrate the 2009 team at Old Timers Day. They've failed since 2009. No doubt. Right? So I'm not saying we should all be happy and have pom-poms and be great. I know I get perceived as that just because I fight back against craziness and lunacy on how upset we should be. Disappointed, no doubt. Hate anybody associated with the Yankees is a bit much for me, considering how successful, despite not winning a World Series, they've kind of been. Especially when compared to other teams we root for. But just take a second, because I know it's about winning the World Series. I get it. But I don't know about you, but as a Yankee fan, a baseball fan, I love baseball. I love watching baseball. I love when the games are on. I miss them when they're not on. It's a nightly companion. I've talked about this. I've talked about the romanticism and the romance I have with baseball. I love it. It's with you in the car. it's with you. It's on summer days at the beach. You bring your radio with you, like, and listen to the game. It's different than any other sport. Football, you know exactly where you're going to be. You watch it. As soon as that game's over, you're on to the next game. It's Sunday's a 12-hour experience. You buy the Sunday package. You got the red zone, whatever. Like, it's different. You have a ritual. You know, 1 o'clock, you're on your couch with your food in front of you. Baseball's a companion every day. And just take a second and recognize the idea that every day you get to watch Juan Soto and Aaron Judge hit back-to-back every day. And I'm not taking it for granted, and I'm not worried about next year, although I think he's going to be back. I'm not worried about next year. I'm enjoying the idea that every single day I get to watch two of the greatest hitters in the sport. Two of the greatest hitters in history. Every single day. It hasn't led to the amount of winning I would have liked. It hasn't produced the kind of season I was hoping it would. It's still a season with an opportunity to win. But every single day, I get to watch Juan Soto have at-bats. I get to watch the shuffle. I get to watch him battle every single pitch. And then I get to watch Judge be the greatest player in baseball. Every single day. So just take a moment out of your hatred and your misery and how much you hate Brian Cashman and Hal Steinbrenner and all the nonsense and everything you can't stand about this team and the way they go about business and the lineup. Every day, the lineup, I just get bombarded with, how do you defend this? How do you explain this? How do you do this? How do you do that? Oh my God. Oh, this is Cashman's bullpen. Blah, 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 blah. Like, it's nonstop bitterness and hatred and just, like, can you, just for a second, after watching him hit 3 home runs, just take a moment and recognize what we have been able to watch this year. And hopefully we'll watch for the next 8-7 years with the two of them back to back. And if you don't think so, I will take you to the post game last night as Judge and Soto were talking about who's the best hitter in baseball and this and that. But this is back to back, Soto and Judge talking after the game last night in Chicago. I'm going to try one more time. Alex, we're going to play that Judge sound now. So this is Judge and Soto in the post game last night after the game.
You know, I got my money on Juan in that situation. But, you know, he did what he did. He passed the baton and, you know, gave it to the next guy. And that's who he is. That's why he's, you know, the greatest hitter in the game.
He called you the greatest hitter in the sport. How do you feel about that?
I call him the greatest here in the world. I mean, he's, look at his number. He's just unbelievable. I mean, he makes my job easier. He makes me, my play appearances a little bit better, you know, because it's, when you're hitting in front of a guy like that, it just, you know, you're getting pitches. So he's the greatest one.
Does that sound like a guy who wants to leave? Does that sound like a guy who doesn't recognize the impact that Judge has on him? I mean, the two of them going back and forth, calling each other the best hitter in the sport. He literally says there, literally says, he makes my at-bats better. He makes my life easier. He makes me a better player. Juan Soto is one of the great players of this generation. He's having the best year of his career, hitting in front of Aaron Judge. He's embraced the fans. He doesn't want to go. You just heard him right there. He makes everything easier. Look at his numbers. He's the best hitter in the world. He makes my at-bats so much easier. I know I'm getting pitched to. I know I'm getting fastballs because Aaron Judge is hitting in front of me. Now it's just a matter of whether or not the Yankees are going to pay him, or the idea of how much more does he need to leave the New York Yankees. Because you can't tell me that guy doesn't want to be a Yankee. And all I know for sure is he is one now, and I'm loving it. Da-da-da-da-da.
Start some trouble and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 252. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. And I see all the, you know, all the tweets about the, you know, after the Juan Soto home run. Keep him. Pay him whatever he wants. Hal will be the most hated man in this city if he doesn't keep Juan Soto. And I know there's a fear there, and a lot of people don't think, like, you know, the classic, you know, Yankee haters. I know I deal with Brian Cashman Blows. He hits me up at least 2-3 times a day. Neil Keefe, my guy Neil Keefe, another one, who out on Twitter does a good job, has a good podcast. Check out the Neil Keefe podcast. Good Yankee fan, but pessimistic. As I, you know, am optimistic. Both of us have our flaws and our positives, I would imagine. But he's tweeting last night saying, every home run is hard to watch knowing he's gone in a year. Like the idea that everybody knows he's gone in a year, I'm telling you right now, Hal Steinbrenner is going to pay him. If he might not pay him the most, right? We understand this. Steve Cohen has more money than anybody. I heard a caller coming in. I didn't hear Al on Saturday. I saw him. I was walking in and he was walking out. We didn't sit back down and have a few drinks though. He went on and did the show. I went home, but I saw him Saturday. I heard a little bit of the show, but I guess he's a caller called Keith and mentioned that Al has sources who are telling him that, you know, Steve Cohen's going to go all out blank check style for Juan Soto, which, I mean, I think we all on some level think he's going to obviously be in on. He's sat back this year with spending money. Some money's coming off the books, notably, obviously, Scherzer and Verlander, who aren't even with the team right now, but they really don't have any pitching. Like, they're going to need a bunch of things. They're going to need more than just Juan Soto next year. Alonso could probably leave, his money coming off the books. But that doesn't matter. He has more money than anybody. And if he does have that mentality, blank check style, yes, there's no doubt. The Mets can offer Juan Soto more money than the New York Yankees. There's no doubt. Is Steve Cohen going to be willing to do it? I'm not so positive as everybody else is that he would give him some sort of, you know, $700 million contract and put that kind of money on the books for a team he's trying to build. He's talking about sustained winning. He brought in the man from Milwaukee. He brought in a guy who ran a mid-market team. You think he wants to put all of his assets in? And then how many levels above the threshold are you willing to go? So, like, there's a question there. And that's why they're building young talent. Same thing with the Yankees. The Yankees and Hal Steinbrenner are never going to not... They are going to make him a significant offer that he is going to have to either be blown out of the water with by someone else or... You know, an offer that will make Juan Soto happy is coming from Hal Steinbrenner. I have no doubt. Whether or not someone makes him happier, I can't speak to. But a contract that he would gladly sign if nobody else gives him a higher one, or if it's just enough he wants to be with the Yankees, Hal Steinbrenner is going to do everything he can because we talk about the business model. Like, even if you think he's this businessman that only cares about chicken buckets and beer sales and ticket sales, and well, that's part of the program is having superstars. He is never going to let this guy just walk. And how you keep the payroll down, which a lot of people tell you he wants to get under this threshold immediately. I don't know if he does. I think eventually he wants. I don't think he wants to continue to run the team at a level where it's $320 million or whatever over the luxury tax every single year. That's not what he wants to do. He doesn't want to live there. But if he has to, you know, rent there for the next 2 or 3 years while Stanton's on the books, I think he's understandably going to be willing to do it on some level for a year or two. He doesn't want to perpetually be like, hey, listen, we live above this. I don't care what we're trying to win World Series, so it's 320 every year. I don't think he wants to do that, but there are some realities of some bloated contracts that have hurt them, and he's going to have to live with it. But bringing Juan Soto back is something Hal Steinbrenner is absolutely willing to do, and that's why you're going to see and how important it is. You know what the most important thing, like honestly, you know one of the most important things of this season if we're talking about long-term for the New York Yankees? It's 100% Austin Wells. Austin Wells becoming an answer at the catching position and an offensive catcher at that is an enormous positive for this group. An enormous positive for this front office, whomever it be, Cashman or whoever replaces him next year if they don't make the playoffs.
Yeah, you can't. He's got a lifetime contract.
We'll see. But whoever it is, Cashman or someone else, to have an offensive catcher under control making no money, to have a shortstop, hopefully Anthony Volpe puts it together and stops being so freaking streaky. Ben Rice at first base, you got Torres money coming off the books. You've got Rizzo money coming off the books. You've got Clay Holmes money coming off the books. That's right, all you Yankee fan Clay Holmes haters. Don't worry, he won't be here next year. I have no doubt that he's going to, because you know why? He's going to be in vogue. There's going to be a bunch of teams looking to pay him. He's an all-star. Just like Pete Alonso is an all-star. There's value there. But that's how you keep Juan Soto, you keep Judge, you keep the stars you bring here by keeping it young and cheap everywhere else. And that's part of why they're hesitant now to trade prospects. Because, yes, you know, they're hesitant to trade either a Jason Dominguez or a Spencer Jones because you need to fill out the rest of your roster with good young talent to afford the superstars you want to buy every year, every couple of years. When Juan Soto walks through this Yankee universe, he doesn't leave. That's the Yankee business model. That's not just baseball. That's the Yankee business model. So if it's just about the absolute last single dollar I can get, then there's a very good chance Juan Soto won't be here. But if it's about getting what I want and playing with Judge and a team in a city that I've connected with after being on three different teams in 4 or 5 years, I think he's going to be a Yankee. I don't think he's going anywhere. And the idea that this losing, which no doubt it's not been as successful as we'd all like, but the idea of the losing that they've been experiencing right now with the most wins in the American League, the losing they've been experiencing is somehow going to deter him from staying here is bonkers. It's absolutely bonkers. Oh, did you see this trade deadline where they didn't do anything? You think he's going to sit back and stay with a team who doesn't attack the trade deadline like this? Well, who did? He's going to go play with the Dodgers? Who's the only team that has shown more urgency than the New York, the Padres? He just came from there. Like, who else is throwing money around? Like, what the Orioles do at the trade deadline? Where's he going to go that gives him a better chance to win consistently than the New York Yankees? The idea that somehow this tough stretch has somehow deterred him from wanting to be here is lunacy. It's absolute lunacy. It's projecting your unhappiness with the team onto something else. He looks around and goes, well, I'm in first place today. Oh, what a brutal place to be. Oh, can you imagine this? I'm in first place with the most wins in baseball. How did I get here? How the hell do I get out of here? I'm with the New York Yankees who consistently have a top 2-3 payroll in the sport and have made the playoffs, I don't know, 100 million times out of the last 101 million seasons. Oh, man, I got to run from this place. I got the best hitter on the planet hitting behind me. I'm having the greatest season I've ever had in my Hall of Fame practically already career. How the hell do I get out of here? Please, someone, show me the door. I must go. You guys are nuts. And this is why I've become Yankee shill and Yankee pom-pom guy, because people talk crazy and then I have to set the record straight and then I'm some defender because the Yankees aren't having the exact season we wanted, so I should hate them with a passion and say nonsensical things like Juan Soto wants to run because they lost to the White Sox last night. So he's got to get the hell out of here. Hey, it is what it is.